Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. The title of this message, The Glory or the Glories of the Cross. But God forbid, the apostle writes by the inspiration of God, God forbid that I should glory, save or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, the world's dead to me, and I unto the world. I'm dead to the world. The world's dead to me, and I'm dead to the world. God forbid that I should glory in myself, that I should glory in my knowledge, that I should glory in my credentials, I should glory in my own righteousness. God forbid. Don't let me do it. Lord, this was almost in the form of a prayer when he says, God forbid. Lord, don't let me glory in myself. You're the only one that's worthy of honor and glory and praise and majesty. Just you, not me. Not even, not the world. Just you, you alone. You're the glorious one. You're the high and exalted one. You're the one that's lifted up. You're the one I want to preach. You're the one I want to declare. You're the one I want to brag on and exalt and uphold. And oh, you're the one I want to set forth to the people. God, help me to preach Christ and not glory in myself. I'm nothing but a speck of dust. I'm nothing. Oh, I don't have any righteousness of my own. I don't have any worth. I don't have any merit. I'm just a poor sinner. I'm just a beggar telling another beggar where to get a good meal. Somebody phrased it like that once. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I pray that you, by His grace, I pray that you'd know Him before this service is over. If you don't have a desire for Him, I pray that He'd give you desire. That's the only way you're going to get one, is if He gives it to you. It's the only way I'm going to have one. I can't give it to you. I can't give it to myself. But oh, if He's pleased to, what a blessed, blessed day this will be in my life and yours. If we can, by His grace, get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't say enough about Him. I can't brag on Him enough. When I've said everything I can say, I still fall way, way short of His glory, of His beauty. Oh, the writer said He's altogether lovely. There's no deficiency in Him. There's no taint of sin or there's no blemish in Him. He's perfect. Perfect in every aspect. Once you see Him, oh, you'll agree. And oh, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you a few definitions to begin with here. To glory in someone or something is to enjoy or derive great pride and pleasure, satisfaction from that object or person. And oh, I enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? I enjoy. I enjoy when a preacher stands up and his name falls from his lips. Oh, that's bread for the hungry. That's a cold drink for a thirsty man to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is what the desire of the heart is. He said He'd give me the desire of my heart. And then He gives me a heart with a desire. Oh, such grace, such beauty, such glory. To esteem very highly. To credit great worth to honor, to praise, and to the extreme, to worship, to bow down and worship. Oh, I worship. I've got a God, don't you? I worship the true and living God by His grace. I can but do nothing but fall at His footstool, fall before Him. Oh, and to hear men rant and rave about who they are and what they've done and what they can do, I have no stomach for it. I have no heart for it. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that's done it all. He is all. When the apostle wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, he said, he come to this conclusion. He said, Christ is all. Christ is all. He's all there is. Paul the apostle, he said, he summed it up this way. He said, I dare not preach anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when we're done today and we leave this house, I pray that before God, you can say, and God can witness that I've spoken of Him very highly. And then I weep. I always do, Terry, when I leave. I weep because I've not spoke highly enough of Him. Oh, He's such, so wondrous. To worship Him, to bow down and fall down before Him in truth and honesty and the humility that the heart should have, only He can give. Oh, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I don't mean jumping benches and hollering and screaming and speaking in some kind of gibberish. That means speaking of Him in words that can be understood. To tell of His great name in plain, understandable language. To tell who He is. He's God. He's God. And beside Him there is none other. Oh, to worship Him. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is not the wood upon which He was affixed. That wood is rotted and gone. But oh, He that hung upon it, He's not. Oh, I tell you what, it was not possible that death should hold Him. It was not possible that He'd decay. It was not possible that He would perish, because He is Himself life, and He gave His very life for His people. Neither is any singular work in and of itself. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is not any singular work in and of itself. The glory of the cross is the person of Christ Himself in all He is and all He's done and all He's doing, which gives virtue to His work that He accomplished. This is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not one of those things folks hang around their necks. That's nothing but idolatry. Oh, we don't need a piece of wood or a piece of jewelry hanging on our neck or a picture hanging on our wall of how Wild Bill Hickok. We need faith to see Christ. We need faith to see Christ. And that's what He graciously gives. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ from beginning to end. He said, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and all in between. He's Christ from beginning to end. And He's Christ to His people. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, and His cross is His incarnation, His suffering, His death, His fulfilling of the law, His resurrection, glory. In Revelation 1:8, He said, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. That's who I am. He's the Almighty. He's the Almighty God. That's how Isaiah wrote of Him. He's wonderful. That's His name. He's Counselor. That's His name. He's the Everlasting Father. That's His name. He's the Prince of Peace. He's wonderful. That's who He is. That's who He is. To the glory of the cross is to the glory of Christ, who alone is glorious. The glory of God adorns His work in redemption. Every aspect of His incarnation has to do with His redemptive work. His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection. That's His redemptive work. That's His cross. He became a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He took our sin upon Him. He took His people's sin actually upon Him. He was made sin for us. He bore our sin in His own body, the Scripture says, on the cross. His incarnation, His perfection in the flesh. Somebody said, well, I'm not perfect. That's putting it mildly, isn't it? We're everything that is not perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. in the flesh, His vicarious death, His resurrection, and His reign as God-man. God forbid that I should glory in another. God forbid. Oh, folks glory in preachers. And I know the preacher preaches the truth. We should esteem them highly for the work's sake, for the office, for the calling, for the truthfulness that God has given them, for sending them to us. But oh, we shouldn't esteem them above the Lord Jesus Christ. If a man ever stands before me and tells me the truth, it's because of God. It's not because of him. It's because God revealed the truth to him, called him to the ministry, and revealed Christ in him. Let me give you a few scriptures. In Zechariah 2:5, "For I, saith the Lord," this is what the Lord said, "will be unto her a wall of fire round about," to the church, to the believers. "I'll be a wall of fire round about." This is figurative, not literal fire, but a protective fire and a glory, glorious fire, life round about her. "And I will be the glory in the midst of her." Wherever you find God's church, you'll find Him in the midst. He's in the midst of His church. And His people glory in Him. They brag on Him. They're proud of Him. They enjoy Him. They tell of Him with great excitement. They're ready to honor Him. They're ready to put themselves down and exalt Him. 1 Corinthians 1:31, "As it is written, he that glorieth." Do you glory? We all glory in something, don't we? We're gloriers. We're worshipers. We all worship something. "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Let him glory in the Lord. That's what His children do. 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." The light to shine out of darkness. Where is the darkest place on this planet, would you reckon? A friend of mine once, I might have told you this story. My dad showed us where a cave was. Way back in the woods, and it'd been obscure for years. Trees grown up all over where you went in, and he had to look and search, and finally he found it. And we had flashlights. Dad wouldn't go in it, but me and my friend did. We went in this cave. We got way back in it, went about 3 miles through the earth and come out on the side of a mountain up over the river. We'd been there about an hour and a half, and we decided we'd turn the lights out, see how dark it was. And I ain't never seen nothing so dark. I mean, that was dark. I can't explain it, how dark it was. And it's kind of scary. I was thinking, boy, I hope we don't drop these flashlights. Hope they come back on. But that's not the darkest place on this earth. The darkest place on this earth is your old, cold, hard heart. How great is that darkness? Dark. No life. Dark as death. Dark as hell. Dark as all of the evils that you can think of. That's this natural heart. That's the heart we're born with. But God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the life of Christ, the knowledge of Him, He who is life, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory in another. God forbid. He is that light. He is that light. And light simply means this. It's not some thing that appears. And we see with these natural eyes or in a vision or something, that light is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That light is knowing Him. That light is knowing the truth. That light is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 3:21, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. Glory in the church. Who is the glory of the church? It's the head. The head's the glory of the body, isn't it? That's right. What do you put when you get ready to come to the meeting house or you get ready to go somewhere? And you want to look the best you can. What do you focus most on? If you don't know, break your mirrors when you go home. You look in the mirror. You look in your face. You look at your hair. You look at your face. You ladies, put your all that stuff on. What could I not go through the list? And I'm glad to thank God for it. I'm not condemned it. I'm thankful for it. But anyway, I'm getting off track. But that's what we look at. That's what we look at. We look at the head. We look at, because we speak through the mouth. We look with our eyes. This is we're identified by our face. And this is the glory of our body. That's where it's at, in our face. The glory of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory except in my head, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. I'm not the head of the church. You're not the head of the church. The Pope's not the head of the church. There ain't no man ahead of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, the body. In Jeremiah 9:24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me. He said, glory in this, that he understands me and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He delights in loving kindness. He delights in mercy. He delights in grace. He delights in His people because He's made them His people. He delights in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And His Son delights in us because we're in Him and we're in God. We're His body. And He's our head. And He said, he let him that glory, glorious in this, that he understands. Do you understand? That there's no one worthy of glory and honor and praise except the Lord Jesus Christ. There just really isn't. Now, I believe it's a good thing to compliment others. I say this again. I always try to justify myself in this because there's nothing wrong with saying you look good today. There's nothing wrong with saying that was a good message. I enjoyed it. As long as you understand that what we have or what we've done, what we are, God gets the glory for it. If there's anything good to be said, if you ever tell me I preached a good message, you understand this. If I did, and honestly and sincerely you hear it, and God puts it in your heart and it's a blessing to you, it's Him that's done it, it's not me. Understand that. Do you get that? I ain't never done nothing good. Do you hear me? I ain't never done nothing good. Everything I've done is full of faults and failures and self and just awful. Has God ever speaks to your heart by a message that I've preached? It's Him that's done it. It's not me. It's not me. Glory in Him. Glory in Him. But it's like I said, it's never wrong. As long as we understand what we're saying. As long as we understand what we're saying. I thank God for you, Paul said. But notice how he said, I thank God for you. I thank Him for you. We glory in Him. All men, religious and irreligious, apart from Christ manifesting His glory to them, with glory in themselves. Now, I'll tell you what, folks. I'm just going to insert this. This is not my notes. We're all going to die really soon. And I keep saying this, someday it's going to happen. It happens every day. Someday we're going to stand before God. Now, if you're counting on what you've not done, or what you have done, or both, to get you into heaven, you're going straight to hell. Now, I'm telling you that right now, I'm being honest with you. That's what the Scripture says. You ain't going to heaven. Nothing you've ever done would merit being in the presence of God. Me or you, either one. And all the things we have not done is so bad that other people's done. We ain't done them. We're pretty good folks because we ain't done what all these other people's done. And we go there and we plead what we've not done. We ain't going in. We're not going to go in the presence of God. We're not going to heaven because of what we've not done. Because if God had not restrained us, we'd have done it. All you ladies be prostitutes and all of us be child abusers. Or worse. Anything we got the potential to do anything that anybody else would do. And I know we think sometimes, I wouldn't ever do that. You'd do it in a heartbeat if God didn't restrain you. And you don't even know He's restraining you. I don't either, most of the time. And if I've not done it, I've thought about it. I'm just being honest. This, somebody said when you're preaching, that's time to be honest. Time to be honest every, all the time, isn't it? But I'm going to do my dead level best to tell you the truth. We ain't fit to go to heaven. And if we do go, to Him be the glory. To God be the glory. That's what our lesson is this morning. God forbid that I should glory in another. There's a group that's going to stand before God, and I think this is representative of all men that's self-righteous, that look to themselves for salvation and what to do or what to don't do. In Matthew, I believe it's either chapter 7 or chapter 14, there's a group of people that's going to stand before God, and this is representative of a picture of all self-righteousness. And they go to say, we preached in your name, or preachers. There are going to be plenty of preachers in hell. Plenty of them. That's where the false prophet's going. We preach in your name. We've given in your name. You know, some folks think they're going to go to heaven because they give a lot of money. That's right. They actually do. That's what they're comforting themselves in. That's their assurance because they give a lot of money. Because they think they're going because they've not killed anybody or they've not, because they've been good to their family. You know what? We look at some old man or woman in a wheelchair, you know, and just all dried up and frail. We think, well, they're going to heaven. Not if they don't glory in the Lord. He's not going to have mercy on somebody because they're old in a wheelchair or they're sick. No. They're going to hell like everybody else when they die if they don't know Christ. Oh. He that glory, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. No one that's all religious and irreligious apart from Christ manifesting His glory to them will glory in themselves, in their supposed righteousness, in their knowledge, in their own little specific personal inbred gods which they've conjured up with their wicked imaginations. Everybody's got their own little gods they worship. And it all boils down to worshiping ourselves. He surely wouldn't put me in hell. I'm pretty good. I'm good to my wife, good to my kids, good to my neighbors. Go to church every once in a while and ain't got nothing else to do. You know, I give a little money. You know, sometimes I double up on it even. Have a windfall during the week. That's good. Good. Be good to your wife and kids and your husband and your neighbors and give. That's all right. But that ain't going to get you into heaven. That ain't going to get you in the good graces of God. That'll send you to hell quicker than anything else if you trust in it. That's right. The Lord said to that bush, depart from me. I never knew you, you that work iniquity. All those good things you've done in my sight are works of unrighteousness because they wasn't done to the glory of God. They wasn't done with faith in Christ. God forbid that I should glory except in Christ. God forbid. And this flesh has a tendency to lean upon itself, to trust in itself, to glory in itself. It has that tendency. It's its very nature. It's its very nature. All false religions intricately weave themselves into their so-called gospel. Somehow or another, and I'm trying by God's grace to take every pain this morning to disannul that, to expose that. And I may do it anyway. I hope I don't. But this gospel of the glory of God, the glory of Christ, is not a so-called gospel. This is the gospel. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This so-called gospel that's interwoven with man's doing and his religion ultimately robs God and Christ of his glory and gives glory to themselves. Well, the church I was raised up in had, it was a Baptist church, fundamental, premillennial. It had a bunch of names. I can't think all of them. But anyway, we had testimony meetings. The preacher said, anybody got anything to say? And boy, did folks have something to say. That's like opening the door. That's like opening the door of that airplane that was sunk. Water just flowed. Trying to think of her name. You wouldn't know her. I'd tell you her name if I could think of it. Pearl Threet. That's who it was. Pearl Threet. She sat right over there. Have a testimony. Pearl Threet would get up and it was a given. Every time she'd stand up and testify, she'd say, I read the Bible through 33 times. And I pray so many hours a day. And I do this and I do that. You just know Pearl is going to heaven. Who wouldn't go to heaven that read the Bible 33 times? Surely. Surely that person would go to heaven. And you know what? I said, I was honorary pallbearer at our pastor, the pastor that pastored the church where I was raised and where Pearl went. And I stood by the casket of Stanley Cravens, the pastor. His daughter stood beside me, Dr. Allred's wife. She put her arm around me and she said, if anybody goes to heaven, Daddy will. Do you know what she was saying? He's going to heaven because of all that he's done. Because of all of his preaching and all the years he's worked for the Lord. That's the reason Daddy's going to heaven. And I stood right there and thought. I didn't say nothing. I just began to learn the gospel and began to learn that we wasn't anything. And then this lady stood there. Her husband was my Sunday school teacher. Her daddy was my pastor. And she stood there and said, if anybody goes to heaven, it's going to be Daddy. Because of what he done. I had a, humanly speaking, I had a wonderful mother. She was better than any of y'all's mother. I mean, I loved y'all's mother, but mine's the best. And, she was just so meek and so kind and so naive. And just, she never argued, she never complained. And I'm being truthful, Mary, I tell you. But she couldn't get in heaven on the merit of her kind disposition, her love for her family and her children. She could, that's not, no. Oh no. We'll not give her the glory. No. She's my mother and I loved her. We can't give her the glory, can we? Huh? Can we? If she's in glory when I get there, if I see my mother, do you know what she's going to say? Maybe not in these words. But you know what she's going to testify to? Glory and honor to the Lamb that was slain and redeemed me by His own blood. That is it. That's who we glory in. No one else. No one else. Men love to promote and applaud the flesh. Men love to recognize, promote, and entertain themselves in the name of God. The apostle said, Lord, save me from this. And that's what I'm saying this morning. Lord, save me and you from this. God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a great preacher, wasn't he? I guess next to the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd say he's one of the greatest preachers ever lived. But you know what he said? He said, Christ sent me not to baptize. He wasn't saying that I'm not supposed to baptize anyone, but he said that's not the reason that he sent me. He sent me to preach the gospel, to preach Christ, not with wisdom of words. You know, I could stand up here and try to explain to you the difference in what is Lapsarianism, sublapsarianism, and you and I wouldn't know, and you wouldn't know either after I got through. I'd be as confused as you are. And he'd think, well, I think I know what it is, but what good would it do? Huh? Wisdom of words. Make folks think you know something. Make them think you're smart. Talk plain. Talk simple. Easy understood. You understand me? You understand what I'm saying? You understand what the gospel says? You understand, at least intellectually, what I'm saying? Glory in the Lord alone, not in yourself. You're not worth it. You don't deserve it. He does. That's what I'm saying. Don't let me glory in anyone else. A lot of folks have all their hope and trust in the preacher. Then the preacher dies. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. The preacher's gone, and that's it for them. I've seen it happen. All our hope was in the preacher. Don't hope in me. It's only by the grace of God that I know Him. And I can tell you the truth. Don't glory in me. Glory in Christ. The glory of someone is that which distinguishes him from all others and is exclusive to that one in beauty and preeminence. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is one among all. He is the one rose among the thorns. He is the one. Look out on the field of briars and thorns and weeds and nettles and rocks and roots. That's worthless. And you see out in the middle of that field one rose. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's Him. He's the fairest of 10,000. He is glorious. Outstanding. Outstanding. We can by no means exhaust this subject. Let us glory. What did Paul glory in? What did he desire to glory in? He said, God forbid except I glory in the cross of Christ. In Christ Himself. In the person of Christ. Who He is. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Now listen. The Lord Jesus Christ, there's no other like Him. Who is He? What's He like? Exactly who is He? Tell me who He is. The Lord asked this question. He said, who do men say that I am? What folks saying about me? He knew, but He wanted to bring this to their attention. And He looked at Peter and He said, who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is in Christ Himself. He is God manifest in the flesh. He's the God-man. He's 100% God and 100% man. Somebody say, explain that. I can't. I'm not going to even attempt to. But He is. He's the 100% man and 100% God. He's the God-man. He glories in His person. His virtuous character is the God-man, the perfection of His godly faculties in the flesh. This is a perfect man. He's separate from sinners. He did no sin. In Him is no sin. He's a sinless, harmless Son of God. In Luke 2:11-14, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, now this is what they were saying, glory to God. That's what they say. And that's what I'm saying, what Paul is saying. Glory to God. God forbid that I should glory in another. Glory to God for His Son. Glory to God for the Son of God who condescended, who came in the flesh and worked out a righteousness for me that I couldn't work out, that put away my sin that I couldn't put away. Glory to God. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. We beheld His glory. God forbid that I should glory another. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is who He is. He's the God-man. Explain that I can't. I just believe it. By God's grace, I believe it. For great is the Lord, 1 Chronicles 16:25, and greatly to be praised. Do you esteem the Lord to be great? Is He great? You say, yes, He is. He's great. I think He's great. But do you esteem Him to be as great as He deserves to be esteemed? You'll say, no, I don't. But I desire to. God forbid that I should glory. He also is to be esteemed and praised above all gods. Above all gods. Psalms 48:1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. You know, folks, we those that know Christ, I think we're possibly going to be surprised. I mean, we see through a glass dimly, but then we see face to face. But there's a multitude of folks, and I hope you're not one of them. I hope I'm not one of them. That will be greatly surprised when they see God face to face. Who we'll see is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're going to see. In Isaiah 12:6, cry out and shout, the inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of her. Every one of God's preachers today, every one of them, is giving God the glory. Every one of them. Those that do not are not God's preachers. That's just so. I'm not saying everyone doesn't preach like me. I hope they don't preach like me. I'm a poor specimen of a preacher. But everyone that preaches His gospel has the same thoughts as the apostle did, as I do. God forbid that I should glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's preachers are not standing before their congregation today telling folks how good they are. They're telling folks how good God is. That's right. Observe Him, the Holy One, the Immaculate One, the Spotless One, the Undefiled One, one separate from sinners. In Christ, perfect obedience to God's demands. That's what we glory. That's the cross of Christ. Christ, perfect obedience to God's demands. God demands perfection. And Christ performed that perfection. He fulfilled that perfection. He met God's demands. The law is obeyed in Christ. We glory in God's perfect obedience. In Christ's perfect obedience to God. In Romans 5:19, it said, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Not by my obedience, but by His obedience. Christ Himself said, I have glorified Thee on the earth, speaking to the Father. I have finished the work which He gave me to do. We've never finished anything He gave us to do. But the Lord Jesus Christ finished everything God gave Him to do. And we glory in His finished work. When He said it's finished, we say glory to God. Isn't that right? Glory to God, He finished it. All glory to Him. We glory in Christ's cross death. That's His cross. He died. Justice satisfied in Christ. God's law demanded we die for our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ came and died as our substitute and our sin offering. Being fashioned and found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For Christ also has suffered for sins once, the just for the unjust. I'm the unjust, he's the just. That he might bring us to God. We didn't bring ourselves to God, he brought us to God. We glory in his bringing us to God. We glory in his cross death, his suffering for our sin. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We glory in his righteous reign. In his glorious reign, where he is now. And if the Lord ever reveals this to us, reveals this to you, I know we talk and give our opinions and everything, but this will give us some ease. Ease of mind and heart, trouble. You know, we get troubled about things, and I will over anxious sometimes. I do. I wish I didn't, but I do. But I'm always brought back to this place by God's grace. This world belongs to God, belongs to Christ, and everything in it. Everything in it. All of the governments of this world, all the powers, all the dictators, all the terrorist groups, Hamas, everything belongs to him. All of it does. Obama, he belongs to him. He's God's president. He put him in office. Say, who elected President Obama? I'll tell you exactly who elected him. God did. He may be like Pharaoh. He may put him in there, destroy him. He may make a great president out of him. I don't know. God knows. But he's there for a purpose. God put him in. This will put our mind at rest and our hearts and our souls if we know the Lord Jesus Christ and glory in him. There ain't nothing that wiggles on this planet that God doesn't order. Sometimes go out and you see a leaf blowing through the air. Now you say this is being extreme. I am extreme. I believe in extreme God. I believe in extreme Christ. He orders the very path of that leaf and where it falls. I go out and rake it up among the 10,000 other leaves, set them on fire. Who did that? Well, I did it, but God did it. Yeah, he did it. I believe that. Yeah, the frost that forms in the fall of the year for the harvest, the blade of grass that springs up in the early spring, the bud that appears on the apple tree, the fruit that hangs early, it's ripe and falls. God did that. The baby that gives its first cry when it comes into the world. God did that. And as I lay down on my deathbed and life leaves me, God did that. You see, either he's God, all God, and God alone. I'm talking about Christ. I'm talking about God, the Godhead. Or he's no God at all. And I thought this morning, I didn't think much about it, I never do. It's Sunday morning and they don't nobody call me and ask me what I'm going to do on Sunday morning. Seems like God's made up my mind for me. I get ready to come to church. But I thought, this morning I thought, I've got to get ready and I'll go. But I'm not here because I decided to come. I'm here because he decided for me to come. This was his decision. And it would be troublesome to me. Knowing what I know now, if I got up some Sunday morning and just for no reason, I mean some selfish reason, I don't think I'll go to church today. Don't think I'll go hear the gospel. Don't believe I'll go worship. Just don't feel too good today. I think I'll just lay in the bed. Why? Why? That would disturb me. But at the same time, it's not, I glory in him, not myself. Not myself. It's not by the will of the flesh. It's not by the will of man. It's by the will of God. Oh, isn't he great? Isn't he wonderful? I want to know more about him. I want to know more about him, don't you? I want to glory in him and his cross, who he is and what he's doing. Well, I'll leave that thought with you. May God bless his word to our hearts.